Okay, this Sunday, in the church calendar, when I say that, I say the broader church calendar, the church that is meeting and representing who Jesus is and the community that's following him all over the world in different contexts and in different denominations. The church calendar, this is the day that we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And so we thought, during Christmas to around now, so we do some of the liturgical calendar because it just helps us kind of come back to some of the basics. And so today we're going to be looking at Mark 1, 9 to 11. So if you want to put that in your Bible and just slip a piece of paper in there. But first I want to ask you this question. If you could put any words into your father's mouth that you would want him to say about you, what would they be? Now, this might bring a whole bunch of different things up to in our lives with fathers, but I'm going to ask that question again. If you could put any words into your father's mouth that you would want him or would have wanted him to say about you or to you, what would those words be? Just sit with that for a minute. A few minutes, just so it's maybe a bit uncomfortable, but maybe it's not. What would they be?
This is my beloved son,
whom I am well pleased. There you go, Peter.
Proud?
I love that people are answering. I didn't even know. I love our community. Anyone else would be willing to share that? What comes to mind when you want, you're like, oh, I would love my dad, or my dad did say that. That was so good. Successful, right? Proud of you. We did this around the staff table, and they didn't know the scripture that I was going to be talking about. And really what came up was this idea that I want my dad to say I'm proud of you. So, let's think about that for a minute as we read this scripture that we have in Mark 1, 9 to 11. I'm going to go to verse 15 for us as well. Let's read this. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John the Baptist, One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." This is our scripture for today, concentrating in that first part. And I'll allude to the verses 12 to 14 later. Here we have Mark explaining what's happening, the baptism of Jesus, and then something interesting happens. It's like a curtain has been pulled away so that we can see some other reality that's actually happening as well. And God the Father is speaking these words to his son, And then you have the Holy Spirit coming as a dove. I want us to concentrate on those words that are spoken to Jesus in this first part. I'm going to put them on screen in the different translations, because this would have been written in Greek and then translated. Maybe it was said in Aramaic and then written in Greek and then translated. So that's why we have different translations of the same thing. But sometimes it's good for us to see the different ways in which we can translate these words. The NLT said, the New Living Translation says, "You are my dearly son, and you bring me great joy." The New International Version, NIV, says, "You are my son, in whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Message says, "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." How beautiful is that? These are the words that are spoken. This is the words that are spoken to Jesus before his ministry even began. I find it very interesting that these words of the Father, spoken to the Son in the presence of the Holy Spirit, manifested as a dove, before Jesus here actually had completed anything of significance or anything of importance. And I think we need to pay attention to that. These words are spoken about Jesus, to Jesus, for Jesus, in the presence of everyone to hear and for people to write it down, and then for scribes to keep it careful note, for us to see that God is speaking these words to him before he's actually done anything of significance. We want to pay attention to that. So going back to that question, if you could put any words in your Father's mouth that you would want him to speak and to say about you, what would they be? Now, I don't think this is actually, you know, the Bible says, has these verses that you want to hear what your itching ears want to hear. I don't think it lines in. I think it's actually we just are all desire to hear our fathers or mothers speak something good in our life, right? So I don't think we have that temptation here to do this. 2 years ago, two and a bit years ago, when I was installed, when I was plugged in here as the lead pastor, Sharon had done some work and got some people to say a few things. One of the things is that she got my dad on video, where one of my old youth leaders was his nurse, and she just texted her, and then she took a video of him. And my dad is a bit of a shell of a man that he used to be after his head injury 5 or 6 years ago. But to get these words that he said to me and that he actually spoke to me, and they're now coherent, like, it was just a beautiful thing. And I basically dug these up yesterday. I was trying to find them. Like, I was like, did you get them on Facebook or what? So really, I found it in some old email. And then I'm hoping that it got on the screen. So these are my dad's words to me at my installation here.
Keep following the Lord, eh? He'll never go wrong. I learned that a long time ago. Okay? We're proud of you.
Oh, killer. The end part. I'm proud of you. Just said like a trucker. Totally. He is a truck driver. I'm proud of you. That's my wish for all of us. For all of us. And some of us might not have been able to have their dad say that to us. But it's my prayer that maybe in some way we can hear these words that the Father spoken to Jesus, and we actually could take those words for ourselves as well. The early church read the scripture like this, and I think it's okay for us to read it that way too. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Elliot is playing in hockey league in Abbotsford, and I assistant coach, but I also like ref the games. It's kind of like a non-sanctioned. They play hockey, but it's a lot of fun, and they only play once a week, and it's really cool. And then, but after every game, the head coach made this helmet, and it's a hard helmet, and they drew like the Panthers. That's the name of their team. Panthers is on it, and after every game, he then gives his helmet out to somebody because of the good job that they've done, and. Like, we've probably, I don't know how many games we've played, 12 or so, and we're going to play maybe about 6 or 7 more. There's like 12 kids on the team. Some kids have gotten it 3 times. So you're trying to, okay. You're trying to add that up. I'm going, okay, when's my son going to get it, right? And I'm the assistant coach, and I'm not like, here, give me $5. Can you give it my helmet? No. Last night, Elliot played a great game. He got 2 assists. There's a kid that actually scored the 2 goals that he got assists for, but the coach thought, I'm going to give it to Elliot this time. And he gave it to Elliot, and Elliot was able to put this on and go, yeah. But before that, and I don't think I'm speaking out of term here, he'd be like, am I ever going to get that helmet? Because he's done the math. As Elliot does. Some kids got it 3 times. Some kids got it twice. Another kid's got it twice. So it actually looks like not everyone's going to get the helmet. Right? I want us to understand that God is wanting to give that helmet to each of us. And it's not because of anything amazing that you're doing. It's because of who you are, first and foremost. So let's just sit in that for a little bit. The posture of the Father is, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, in whom I find incredible joy. I'm proud of you for who you are. Yes, he's going to do incredible things, but the posture of the Father to his child is one of, I love who you are. And this is out of love. And it's out of this love that you're going to do great things. So it begs the question, what great things did Jesus do? Well, your assignment this week is to read the entire Gospel of Mark now. Or read Matthew, John, Luke. You don't have to read them in those orders, but this is the gospel. This is the good news, the euangelion. The good news of Jesus Christ is his life, death, and resurrection. This is the good news. This is the gospel. It's his life. To sum it up, he showed a life of love, of service to the poor, to the outsider, giving his life self-sacrificially on the cross. This is why we have this symbol here. He is about to show all of humanity how to be human, how to fully be human. Because God is, remember we just celebrated the cosmic Christ coming and being who? Emmanuel, God with us. So there's a mystery, the fact that Jesus is fully God and fully human. So in the midst of it, Jesus is being fully human, even though he's God. He's showing us how to live this life that he's called us to live. He's showing us to be, how do we do that? And he says to his disciples, come follow me. He says to these students, come follow me. Follow me, watch what I do. Learn from me. Walk with me. Learn from me. I'm going to show you how to do it, how to live this life. And that's what the Gospels are all full of, how the disciples are actually in this project and in this lesson of maybe not understanding how to do it and realigning their lives to how Jesus is living his life, which is through love of neighbor and love of God. So, We have the Son of God coming down to heaven to be Emmanuel, God with us here on earth, to reveal the real way to live. And it starts off with this posture, I love you. This is God's posture to each of you. I want to encourage us in that. Can you hear that? Can you hear those words? And here, Jesus isn't getting baptized because he had some sort of personal sin, right? Jesus isn't getting baptized. Jesus isn't getting baptized here in this story because of something terrible that he had done. No. What Jesus is doing here is he is reenacting what he's about to do, and also the Israelites. So let me hold on here for a second. You're like, Israelites? What? What's going on? He's reenacting what's happened in the Exodus. Remember we went through the, if you weren't here, I apologize, but we spent 6 Sundays in the Exodus. He's reenacting what has happened in the Exodus, in the Jordan River here with John, okay? Let me just do this really quickly, is that Jesus here is leading people through the waters of Jordan, well, in the midst of baptism. What's happening is here, he's revealing that not only is God revealing his love to him, he's revealing of what he's about to do, his life, his death, and his resurrection for all of humanity, for me and for you. So when Jesus goes under the water, as John puts him underwater, he's raised up out of the water. He's showing that he's at some point he's come and he's going to die. But he's going to come up out of the water and he's going to show us a new way to live. The Israelites were led out of slavery by crossing the Red Sea, but they were led into the Promised Land by crossing the Jordan. I want to put a quote up here by Derek Vreeland. He's a great author. This is a guy who actually, he takes, there's a New Testament scholar called N.T. Wright. He takes these N.T. Wright books and he kind of does the Coles Notes version of it. And he's a really, really neat guy. And I don't know how he gets the rights to do that, but he does it and he does a great job at it. But this is a great quote by him. Baptism has become a portal out of this broken world, broken down world, and into God's world of new creation. An escape hatch out of the kingdom of empire, power, adultery, and injustice, and into the kingdom of love. Jesus was baptized to fulfill God's plan and rescue the world. All those who follow Jesus through the waters of baptism can enter his revolutionary kingdom. Now, that's a lot to say. But what's happening here is that Jesus is showing there's a new way to live now. There's a new way to live in the Promised Land. This is a different kingdom, a kingdom of kindness, a kingdom of self-sacrificial love, a kingdom of serving people, a kingdom that looks totally different than what the world and empires want to engage us in and want us to be doing. And so I think also with baptism, there's this idea that we have to be thinking about how is Jesus doing it differently and how am I living? This is where John the Baptist says, repent, the kingdom of God is near, repent. And repent here isn't saying the repenting means be thinking about doing life differently. Yes, there's confession of sin, but it's also going, I have to realign my life and go totally different than what I want it to be doing here. I want to be living my life the way Jesus is leading me and showing me in here. If I can do this real quickly, if we think about Joshua and him entering the Jordan and crossing the Jordan into a new Promised Land, the first century readers would have been catching this and going, oh, Jesus is in the Jordan, Joshua, Yeshua was in the Jordan, Jesus is in the Jordan, oh, what's about to happen here? He's going down, coming up, now he's about to live his life. I need some water. He's about to live his life now, what's it going to look like? So Mark is saying, pay attention here. Pay attention. Exactly what, when Joshua came up and crossed through the promised land, into the promised land, how did he live? Jesus is saying, we're going to do it differently here. Joshua crosses the promised land, and what does he do? We can't understand, it's kind of a mystery. He goes and kills the Canaanites. Jesus goes in the Jordan, comes up out of it, and what does he do? He goes and brings life to the Canaanites. Joshua goes through the Jordan into the promised land, and Joshua is led in that paradigm. He's like, I want to kill my enemies. Jesus is in the Jordan, comes up out of the Jordan, and starts walking and living a new life. And what happens? Jesus actually is killed by his enemies. You're like, whoa, okay, what? Huh? How? Okay, this isn't just a paradigm for everyone else, it's a paradigm shift for the Jewish followers at that time. And Jesus continued to show that and reveal that in his life. The disciples are like, hey, let's call fire and brimstone down. He's like, whoa, whoa, not so with me. Peter's like, no, you can't die, Jesus. No, wait, you can't die. I'm going to do everything I can. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. It's totally different than what people might expect and what they're thinking, how to live this life. Jesus blows the doors off of that. We're to love and love to the point that it's going to hurt. Because this is what Jesus has done for us. This is how we're to live our baptism. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a hard calling, though. There's something profound that is happening in the baptism of Jesus that we need to pay attention to here. God is now making a way for any and all that will come and to participate in his kingdom through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a kingdom that's divined and shaped by love. This is what Jesus is leading us into, a love revolution. Not love based not a love based on what have you done for me lately, but the God that we worship is love. And we are transformed by this love, and we are called into this love. If we look back in the verses here in Mark 1, where it says, verse 9, one day Jesus came to Galilee. Verse 10, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart, the curtains drawn, the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice saying, this is a picture of the Trinity. Now, we're not going to do a sermon on Trinity. At some point, maybe we'll get Paul to do that because it's really complex. But in a sense, God is love. God is made of three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're always in relationship with one another. And they're revealing love, their love for one another, and love for other people. And it's revealed here in the baptism of Jesus as well. So here, this idea of this Trinitarian love that we're called to do. But you know what? That's not my first bent. I don't like doing that. I don't want to love people for the most part. I want to do things my way. I want to do things the way I want it to do. I want it, the ducks in a row the way I put them. And what Jesus is saying here and what he's displaying is that it's going to look totally different in our lives. But it's the best thing. Because what I'm going to show you is the better way to live. I think one of the ways to understanding how do I understand maybe the lordship of Jesus, or it would be like, let's say I was on, I'm a hockey player, or I used to be anyway. So let's say, do you guys know what jersey this is? Yeah, beautiful, hey? Okay, so, yeah. So this is the year I actually can be wearing it, right? But I don't wear it around here very much. Do you know today in Langley is a hometown hockey? Oh, my goodness. That's so beautiful. But that's another thing. It would be like I'm saying, okay, I'm part of this team. They have their ways of doing it. I'm taking orders from the coach of the Maple Leafs. This is what I want to do. I want to do everything they're telling me to do. And in baptism, what we say is that we say, no. This is, even though this is who I have been and what I've done, I realize that I'm not a part of this team. Oh, this is going to be hard for me. Oh, I'm going to say that I want to join a team that actually is going to, that actually has to die before it has to get better. And I put on this jersey where I say, now the analogy breaks down. You don't understand what I'm saying? Oh, no, please.
It still looks good.
But now I understand, instead of taking my orders from this coach and from these players and this player, I'm saying, no, this is what I'm a part of now in baptism. I'm a part of this team, what this team is doing. And as if we look at it in our faith, in the church, Jesus is the head coach. This is why we're a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. Jesus is the head coach. Jesus is the head pastor. I guess I might be like a player coach type, and the leaders here as well. We're player coaches. We're not going to totally get it right, but we're wanting to listen. We're wanting to hear what Jesus has for us to do and what we're in store. Pardon?
We're in the A,
yeah. So that's it. We have to say no to this way. Oh, dear. I don't want to say no to this. But I was born into it. I loved it. When I was in Ontario, when I was born, they put serum in me and said, "You are a Leafs fan." I love it. I love this way. It's so good. You know why? Because it says we're from the center of the universe. Everything revolves around us. I have to say no, and I have to say, all right. Maybe there's some really good things that are going to come out of this. I might have to die first. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. But this is the better way. The analogy totally breaks down. But I hope you understand. Hardcore Canucks fans are going, no, it doesn't. I'm going to take this off to finish. I have to. So... Be patient with me if you're listening online. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Great. So Christian baptism conveys a new identity. Baptism is not a mere symbol, but it's a sacred portal. Baptism, it's a mystical portal. I'm not saying like it's that, you understand when I say mystical, like it's thoughtful, we can't understand it all, but it's a portal to the future. We're saying that we're going to exodus this other former way of living. That says me first. And we're entering a new team, a new way of living, a new paradigm. That's first and foremost shaped around the person, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Like Israel leaving their old slavery of identity in Egypt and passing through the waters of the Red Sea to gain their new identity as a promised land, so the Christian passes through the waters of baptism to gain a new identity into the world and the world to come. This is why Christians had the habit of giving people new names at their baptisms. We haven't done that yet. It'd be neat to do that, maybe start that up. you would get, after you get baptized in the early church, you would get a new name. And they'd say, this is your name now. And so, for us, what does this mean for us? I wonder if for a lot of us, the Christian faith is a matter of learning to live by this different reality, even when we can't see it. Sometimes we have these moments. We celebrated Epiphany last week, right? Sometimes we have these moments, these epiphanies, where the curtain is drawn back and we're like, yeah, I'm hearing. I can see and hear, and this is exactly what I'm to do. And we understand fully what's going on. I can look back and probably almost every year I've had this, a bit of an epiphany or an aha moment that God reminds me of who I am and what I'm to do. But most of the time we walk by faith. What the author Mark here is saying to the New Testament church, and I believe us, is that he's setting up, he's saying, watch the rest of the story. As Jesus walks in the Jordan, and now he's come up, now watch the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story is going to picture exactly what happened at his baptism. To learn and see and to hear it, we need to hear this story with the heavenly voice and the heavenly vision. And maybe hear that these words are also for us, for me, and for you. That this same Jesus that said, come follow me, learn from me, learn to walk my way, and that the Father said, I love you, I'm pleased with you. This same Jesus said to us, follow us. And we will allow those same words of the Father that speaks to the Son, because Jesus is revealing his good Father's will in everything he does. Would we allow these words to change us? Would we let these words mold us and make us someone maybe different from this other team that we like to play on and we have played on? And then, when we do, I believe that we're going to be way better equipped as the story continues for when we go into those desert places, when we go into those hard places of life. We're going to be better equipped to enter those places, the dry land, and those words will still ring in our heads and to fill our hearts. You're my child, in whom I'm well pleased. I love you. I want to read a poem by Malcolm Gait. He's a UK poet that loves Jesus dearly. And it's on the baptism of Jesus. Beginning here, we glimpse the three in one. The river runs, the clouds are torn apart. The Father speaks, the Spirit, and the Son. Reveal to us the single loving heart that beats behind the being of all things and calls and keeps and kindles us to light. The dove descends, the Spirit soars and sings, you are beloved, you are my delight. In that quick light and life, as water spills and streams around, the man like quickening rain, the voice that made the universe reveals, the God in man who makes it new again. He calls us too, to step into that river, to die and rise, to live and love forever. What caught my attention was the end of that poem where it says, he calls us to step into that river, to die and rise and live in love forever. God is calling us to do this. to live this life that Jesus inaugurated for this kingdom, knowing full well that we are doing this because God's loved us and now we are to love others. And what does that look like? Would we live our baptism? Some of us that maybe haven't got baptized yet, I want to clarify a few things. Some of us were baptized as infants and then went through this wonderful process of catechism. You're able to live that baptism. Some of us maybe have been lingering for a while and going, what does it look like? If you're asking the question, should I be baptized? Hey, we can get the tank here next week, anytime. But I might slow you down because I want you to continue to be thinking about this Jesus that loves you, that is calling you to the best life possible. But you're going to have to give up what you think your best reality is to what God is calling us to do. And that takes a community to try to figure that out. And that's why we want to do this together as a community, to follow Jesus. He calls us to step into that river, to die and rise and live and love forever. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your baptism. Baptism into and revealing to all that this is a new kind of way of living. I just pray that there would be a few things that would caught our attention this morning, and that we'd be faithful to maybe act on those. Maybe we need to talk to a friend about what this looks like. We need to ask someone to pray for us. Maybe we want to contemplate even being baptized ourselves. Maybe we're asking questions around your lordship and your leading in our lives. God, I pray that as though all those things stir in our hearts, that this community, that we would be faithful to walk with one another in the midst of those questions, in the midst of those joys, the midst of those thoughts as we ponder what it means to live our baptism. God, I thank you for each person here and what you're doing in and through their lives. May they hear that you love them and that you're pleased and you're proud. And may that motivate us to love others in your name for your kingdom. Amen.